Always good to welcome in our friend, Dr. John B. Dr. John Braccio here. We've been talking a lot about kids and parents recently, some do's, some don'ts, some, you know, gentle suggestions. There's something that always, you know, it's the fear of every parent. If you got a kid who acts up, maybe behaves poorly, maybe it happens in public, maybe it happens at home. I think all kids have their moments, especially when they're young. But when it crosses over into true diagnosed behavioral issues, that's when there can be a problem. There can be real stress put in the family unit. And Dr. John B. is with us right now on this Valentine's Day. Good morning.
Well, good morning to you, Dave. And it is a nice Valentine's Day and some nice weather to look forward to as we move further into the week.
Yeah, not too bad. Now, I intro'd there by saying, you know, there's different levels of, you know, behavior. Acting up is the way some people would put it. And that sounds to me like it's a one-off or happens on occasion, not often. But true behavioral issues here that are debilitating for a young person and for parents, maybe teachers as well, that's trickier, isn't it?
Well, it really is. And there are many homes where really they're the whole day, the night, when persons are together can be a nightmare. There's really just not effective parenting going on. And it's situations where often the parents themselves never grew up in an environment where there was, you know, effective parenting. So I think, first of all, you have to really look at what is a normal behavior, what would be average for someone this age. And then you have to, you know, make the realization that what you're rewarding and what you're encouraging, you're going to have continue. And you have to realize there are certain things that just ignore, and to the point that they will disappear, okay? It just sounds simple, but a lot of times parents really don't really realize this. And they also have to realize they don't want 100 rules. They want certain rules that the children are aware of,
right,
that they're aware of, that there are specific consequences for bad behavior. And there is a desire to really be encouraging the good behavior. And really, we want things to continue. We want to constantly be reinforcing, you know, what we are looking for. And when we have children who could have ADHD or just have trouble focusing with attention, we need to have transition statements like we're going to be, you know, leave going to bed in 20 minutes, or we're going to be doing something in 10 minutes, 5 minutes. Give the kids some type of a transition so they don't just, if they're really tied into doing something, that they don't all of a sudden really get mad or, no, I want to do this and I want to do that. We have to have some, avoid power struggles, because power struggles really lead to the child and the parent really functioning, you know, as siblings. So, you know, what we really have to do is take control in the home, and this is what's hard for a lot of parents. And then some specific behavioral things to really work with are kind of the ABCs, kind of a classic type of a thing that for some reason so many parents aren't aware of or don't really do. It's where you take a look, when you look at a situation where things aren't occurring correctly or you're unhappy with what's happening, you look at the antecedents, you kind of look at what's going on before this undesired behavior occurs, you look at the behaviors, what are they, and then you look at the consequences. And it could be something as simple as two children constantly at 4:15 are arguing in the TV room, or call it what you will. So what you really have to do is change the antecedent, the situation. Could be as simple as, this is an example I often give, having, you know, switch off different days and have one of the children be with you if you're cooking or if you're doing something that at night where you don't have the two of them always together kind of fighting. So you're basically controlling the circumstances. But we do live in a world where a lot of kids really control the parents in many ways, and the parents are constantly arguing and they're fighting and they're doing whatever they're doing, and it just doesn't work. There's really a need to have a home that is consistent, that people know what the rules are, they're involved in what the rules are, and they are aware of what the consequences are, and consequences are enforced. And again, that there are a few rules, not 100 rules. If you have 100 rules, you're going to find there are too many to enforce, and before you know
No kidding.
They're going to go
wrong. If you can't keep track of them, they're not going to keep track of them, nor want to. You know, you didn't mention anything in there about, where do you stand on any kind of corporal punishment?
Well, I think as a whole, it doesn't really teach. Okay, I think there may be a time to swat on the butt. I mean, you know, get someone's attention.
Okay.
Or someone's, you know, if you're with a 1 or 2 year old that might be running into the road. But as a whole, if you really want to be teaching, you're really going to want to be connecting with the child, letting them be aware of what is appropriate, what's inappropriate. And you do that by setting up a system of communication and awareness, catching them when they're good, and working with them when they are good and in the reinforcement period, and try to eliminate the type of the hitting. Because I think hitting is it often can teach violence, but it isn't a teaching moment. It may stop the behavior, but it can lead to often more anger and not really an awareness of what is going on. And plus, on top of that, we're in a world where you may run the risk of going overboard, and if you're really angry, and you could get yourself in trouble in terms of protective services. So I think, as a whole, a well-run system doesn't require much hitting, and if so, it's meant maybe kind of almost like a shock value, but nothing that I would call anything severe.
And that's something that's changed in the United States and other places in just the span of a couple of generations here, not even that much.
Well, I think that is definitely true. We also are at a time where people's roles aren't as well defined.
True.
And so we really do have to really be working more on, we'll even call it cognitive type things, where people are thinking about things, people are working as a team. Because you're going to find persons that are well-behaved as adults and children, often that they came from homes where they learned rules, they were realistic rules, they were enforced, they were involved in the process, there was a lot of love and caring, and those are the type of homes that can lead to the continuation of generations of effective people. Sometimes we don't really realize how important a steady, stable home can be for generations. We can find 2, 3, 4 that really were encouraged and worked from one to the next, and we don't want to go from dysfunctional families to another to another. So it's really important to take a look at these things, and we see this in our work with all different age children where parents have lost control. They just don't really know. They, in spite of all the information available, they just find it hard to implement in their own system. And another problem you have, I've always said, if you think you're a perfect parent, wait until you get the one who doesn't quite fit with you. meaning so often we work with persons who are effective parents, but they just have a child they just can't seem to connect with.
Yeah.
And then there is the need to be working extra hard and try different strategies and different ideas. But anything can be done in a positive way. I believe that homes can be peaceful. Homes can really work as a team if everybody has a role. There is a parent. There are children. There is a spouse. There's whoever's in the family constellation. If they're working together and they know the rules and people are reasonable, then very good, wonderful things can happen. If they're out of sequence, then there can be really very, very difficult, world for people to live in.
And if you feel things are getting out of sequence, if you feel like consistently you are losing control, don't be afraid to reach out and seek some assistance.
Absolutely. This is something we do a lot of. I think if people talk to effective parents, if they're involved in churches, if they're involved in home groups, if they're neighbors, I mean, a lot of people, not just due to how smart they are or how much income they have, they're parents
right.
that are effective. They just know how to be effective parents with a combination of love and discipline and working together.
Yep.
So if we have some concerns, we certainly can run into people that are effective and try to learn exactly what's going on there. We can read, we can go to the internet, we can see. We do that, like psychologists, people that do the work we do can certainly be available. But the main thing is, you don't want to lose control in the home. And we see that a lot, Dave. And really, sometimes the nicest of people, but people get tired at night. They don't want to be implementing systems of reward and punishment and trying to, you know, they just want to relax sometimes. And that may sound good, but that road of least resistance can lead to a lot of problems in parenting and potential problems for everyone.
We have all been down that road. the website to find the podcast, Dr. John B., .com, our good friend Dr. John Braccio, Regional Psychological Services, East Lansing. Dr. John, thank you very much. Happy Valentine's Day. I have no candy or gift for you for this time around, but you have our undying gratitude as always. Thanks for being here.
Well, our friendship's important. So anyway, I will talk to you later, my friend.